Memphis. Nothing but Memphis. Everywhere we go, it's Memphis. Memphis, Tennessee, the beautiful land in the world.
And I'm thankful for this guy who tweeted and said, I don't have that fire in my eyes no more. That game right there was for him. That's what I do. I prove people wrong each and every night, and that's for him right there.
Hi, this is Tom Izzo at Michigan State, and you're listening to Grizz 901.
Yo, what up, Grizz Nation, and welcome back to Grizz 901, your favorite and the number one Memphis Grizzlies post-game show in all of the land. It is not close. We are presented to you by Bluff City Media. I'm your host, Daniel Greer. This isn't the same setup. It's never the same setup. We're back on the road again. We have Nate joining us very shortly, but the Grizzlies win 108-100. We're going to get into that from the top. Went ahead and get into the game recap. The second segment is all about Grizz trivia, and it's going to have a team that we're going to look at in particular. And after that, we're going to look at On the Radar, as we always do. And we're actually going to diagnose and talk a little bit about a team that's selling, and that is the Washington Wizards. Last thing is, we're going to look at the Miami Heat. That is a game that is a preview. And so make sure you stay tuned all the way there, because we have some good nuggets that we're going to share there. And first things first, if anything happens, if anybody walks in that door, please tell me, because they shouldn't be here. Let's go ahead and get to the show. Yo, 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 little dancing, little vibes. I like it. What's up, man?
Suck it, Trudeau. Let's go.
All right, so how'd you like the game tonight?
Enjoyable. That was obviously, once they were up 19, this statement no longer applied. But that was one of those games where, unlike last game, even if they had lost, I'd have been like, good effort. Yeah. I enjoyed it. So all around, great effort. Shout out to the Hornets making it close again so we can see Cat keep scoring. But I got to say, like, you know, Jaren played pretty well tonight. But that's a mouse quiet 27 with the way bigs are scoring tonight in the NBA. Is that even good? Is 27 and six steals even good? I'm not sure it is tonight.
You know what he did? Is he cashed his number on the line. I can tell you that, because it was 25 and a half. So, hey, shout out you, Jaren. I'll take that money in the bank.
Well, a lot of guys played well tonight.
Yeah, obviously, you know, they did. Dak Jones is saying, you know, that team is trash other than Barnes. Like, they're struggling. RJ Barrett is great and can score in bunches. But he's not that guy. Like, he just isn't. And I'm curious what they're going to do with this team.
Listen, I bring it up after every game. The Grizzlies' silver lining, this isn't our actual team. Yeah. Like, you could be the Bulls. You could be the Raptors, Hornets, Wizards have entered the chat. There's a lot of teams that have it way worse than us. Right. But listen, there is a couple of guys. There's really one main guy tonight that I was like, dude, what are you doing? Outside of that, I thought it was good effort from everybody. A lot of really good energy. You know, we said in the game preview, it was like, no idea what to expect from this team on a night-to-night basis. But given the state of the Grizzlies and the Raptors, whoever gave the most consistent effort over four quarters was going to be the team that that one night, and they were. And listen, you're seeing a lot of development, right? Luke as a facilitator, Jaren as the go-to guy, which they went to him early and often tonight. Vince doing a little bit more off the dribble. Roddy, like, dribbling it off his leg three times, but then taking it to the bucket six times. So I guess it evened out on the positive side. So a lot of good stuff. I liked seeing Gigi out there to close the game initially. He eventually went back to Roddy and Conchar, but that's correct. Our honkies showed up tonight. They did.
Shout out to the honkies.
Look at Jitty. Oh, never mind. I was looking at Kennard. I was like, Jitty had 19 tonight? No, it's Kennard.
So Jitty tonight.
I was like, no way.
He's credited with five blocks. Five. Like, that's huge, huge. Like, they're all the way he played tonight, doing the little things, is what you want out of a Jitty type role, right? Yeah. And you're talking about a guy who could be this on the 10th, 11th, 12th guy on a good team. Like, he can be that if you need him to be. It just depends on whether or not, you know, he'll be that. But either way, really, honestly, like, you know, big ups, as Joshua says, like, you know, to Conchar and him playing the way he did. Luke Kennard, it was a big night out of him for 19. A lot of that happened. If you see what's happening, it was last game as well, I believe, when Jaren got in foul trouble, Luke Kennard has free reign of the offense. Like, it is his offense where he can do whatever he wants. And honestly, it was him being able to do whatever he really wanted to. And that was just, you know, just flamethrowing. And he got hot. He was, I think, one of four, and then got to back where he was like 5 of 10 overall from three, and then went 5 of 13 to end the night. But overall, a great night out of Kennard for sure.
Well, only 34 threes from the Grizz tonight. I feel like that's usually their first quarter total. So that was pretty good to see. Shot a decent percentage too, 38, good percentage. Sorry. I was looking at the Raptors at first, 38%. But listen, it was all around just a well-played game. It was a good team game, man. They were passing it left and right. They were getting into the paint. They were cutting. I mean, Jitty was in the right place all night tonight. He smoked a layup at the end, but he was in the right place all night. Even, like, it's not going to look like it on the box score. X, he did everything awesome tonight other than finish at the rim.
But that's been his problem, though, honestly.
Yeah, but it's not always his problem. I mean, he missed some tonight that he has been making. Right. But he played awesome tonight. Honestly, the only guy that I was super disappointed in tonight was Santi. Mm. Santi's minutes in the first half crushed Memphis. Memphis could have been up 20 at half, dude.
Yeah.
And Santi, just his head has been in another planet. Now in the second half, he got off to a much better start. And then obviously he got hurt, which means he plays for the Memphis Grizzlies. But he was the only one that really bugged me. Zaire was a bunch of nothing tonight, but I didn't think he was terrible tonight. I thought he played some solid defense in the first half. They started pick and roll on him to hell and back. But I liked what I saw out of pretty much everybody tonight. Listen, that's the best you're going to get out of Zaire. And then Santi's the only one that, like, he may not even play for them anymore. Who knows what's going on. Given the way that this season's gone, he's probably out for 6 weeks. But
or traded.
truly everybody contributed tonight.
No, everybody did. It was a great game. You know, obviously there's a lot happening in the NBA where Embiid that went up for 70? I think.
Embiid dropped 70.
Cat's going off right now.
Cat's hold on, I got this game on. Somehow the Hornets are in the game.
60.
It's Edwards at zero at the half. So. One point, the Wolves starters had – it was – what is – I'm pretty sure they had
– Wimby's had 33. Embiid had 70. God.
Well, they had 64, and no one had more than 7 outside of Cat in the Wolves game. So, Edwards has 5 now in the fourth. Yeah, Cat's got 60.
Sheesh. All right, what a night. But overall, listen, the Grizzlies win 108 to 100. I do have a lot that I want to talk about. And so I watched this game from behind the wheel all the way from my humble abode all the way up. So, what that saying is I kind of had a half of a quarter maybe of an eye on the game, and mainly was just listening to it. And so I saw a lot of it, but I didn't really – was able to really see and sit back and enjoy it. But, man, it was a game where, like Jaren could control that game. And I knew he would be able to when he wanted to. But unfortunately, the stupid foul troubles, which just obviously got him. But – I do know that he can control a game, especially, you know, when there's power forwards in the game. There's pretty much no center. Thad Young was the main one that came in there, and he got the nod in the second half. That just means that, like, hey, buddy, what was his name? Jonte Porter, who the Grizzlies cut, you ain't cutting it, bro. You ain't cutting it. You're not good.
Yeah. Well, so I have to bring up this comic. I was literally going to say it as soon as you finished, but this would be the most Cat thing in the world for Cat to drop 60 and lose to the Hornets. Yeah. I'm so hoping that's what happens tonight. Sorry. I had to bring it up because Ryan barely beat me to the punch.
Well, shout out to the $2 show, Rusty, coming in, man. He was on the ESPN app at the bar. Bro, tell him to turn it on. Tell him to turn on the game.
Yeah, listen, seriously. No,
yeah.
Come on now.
Anyway, speaking of our comment section, shout out to Streetcars of Memphis. I do not have anything pulled up. I'm going to try to pull it up real quick, but make sure if you have any customization, any maintenance needs, anything that you want done, go ahead and reach out to those guys. Streetcars of Memphis is the official sponsor of the comment section. Here it is. For this month, though, only use code Grizz901 and receive a $55 regular oil change, $65 full synthetic oil change. That's an oil change at cost. It's huge savings taking place at Streetcars in Memphis. Go check them out at 901scm.com or call 901-323-3332. Go ahead and schedule your oil change, maintenance, or customization services today. They do lift kits, wheels, tires, anything that you want to do. If you want to throw your truck up on some 44s, why not get crazy? You can go hang out with Uncle Buck down in North Mississippi for that, for sure. All right, let's get back to a lot of these comments, but also a lot of the game. If you can't tell, I'm a little all over the place, but it is what it is. I'm trying to make sure I get all this, but I do have something really good. I think you're really going to enjoy the Grizz trivia tonight. But also the Wizards part in segment two. Make sure, please stay tuned for that. I think it's going to be a look, and what we're going to do for the next, I think it's the 8 shows. What we're planning on doing is looking at certain teams that could be sellers, or looking at certain players that could be on the trade market and see how they match up with the Grizzlies. I want to get both of our opinions on a lot of those players tonight. We're going to talk a lot about the Wizards. I'm going to surprise you with a couple. Question. Is Zaire a bigger bust than Hashim Thabeet?
No. Nor Greg Oden.
Yeah, you and Dak
James. There's a long list ahead of them, but not in Grizzlies history. There's still a short list ahead of them, but yeah.
Uncle Buck at North Mississippi, where the only work done on your truck is just adding truck nuts.
Yeah, I saw some truck nuts the other day. It was a throwback. It was a throwback, but
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, let's get into the game. I'm going to break it down a little bit, just looking through the stats just in general, and I want to get off too off course real quick. But so Aldama is potentially out next game, we'll say, okay, just because there is soreness. You know how the Grizzlies work. Who's the guy you're throwing into that the starting rotation there?
X. I don't know why he didn't start tonight, to be honest. Like, I was not in a game full of things that were enjoyable. Desanti Jaren minutes were unenjoyable.
Yeah.
I didn't understand it. It was terrible last game. It was equally terrible tonight. I don't know what the whole point of that was. Obviously you want Santi to be healthy, and Santi is fine, right? Like, he has been objectively bad since all the guys went out, but like, we've seen him be good. We saw him be good in different leagues, even in FIBA, right? So do I mind Santi getting traded? Nope. Am I gonna sit here and say Santi's bad? No, I think Santi's gonna be fine.
Yeah,
I don't want him playing with Jaren. It's not the same as the BC thing. The reason the Jaren center with the BC forward thing worked is because of how athletic BC was, and he played above the rim.
Yeah,
that's not Santi, right? Santi is not athletic. He can't make up for the deficiencies that BC could make up for. So they need to – that just isn't going to work. But I would expect X. That's a long way of me saying X should be back in the starting lineup. Yeah. Also, you don't have anybody else. You might be – are they down to 9 healthy players? 10, maybe, if you throw Scottie Pippen Jr. in there?
Yeah, that's the thing, is that if he's out, that would be 10 if you had Scottie Pippen Jr. up.
God.
Listen, but the thing is, you're probably not going to play Jacob Gilliard and Scottie Pippen together, I would imagine.
No, like you probably are going to nine, if I had to guess.
What would you do? So, like, would you potentially start looking at Scottie Pippen Jr.?
And like Jaravia, get that ankle healthy. We need you, buddy.
Over Jacob Gilliard. Would you look at that at all?
I mean, not necessarily. I don't know truly anything about Scottie Pippen Jr.
Yeah.
I have no
idea. Jake is hurt.
So, yeah. Oh, they're talking to me.
No, Dak Daniels.
Yeah, he's on the bench tonight, actually. Hurt in street clothes, which makes him a Memphis Grizzly. But the only argument I can see with Scottie Pippen Jr. is like, hey, it's a shiny new thing you want to go try out. Because, like, Gilliard, for all his faults, is he does get into the offense. He is a true point guard, and it helps with the other guys around him who you want to see what they've got, right?
Yeah.
Like, you want to see what you got in Gigi, and you want to see what you've got in Vince, and Gilliard's a good point guard to make that happen. Hornets take the lead with 3:53 remaining. Yeah. You want to see that happen. So I wouldn't do it unless you think you have something there that you actually want to try out. But I don't imagine that's the situation. He'll get some run just because still somehow dropping bodies, which is unfreaking believable.
Right. It's crazy.
But yeah, as far as like playing him over Gilliard, no, because Gilliard knows your system. He's going to probably be the best thing for the guys around you that you want to see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Hey, hashtag play groups. You perform. You get your shot.
You know what's impressed me like lately is it has been the play of John Conchar for the simple fact that like he can be a guy out of the rotation. He can be a guy traded, potentially still could be a guy traded. But if you look at this team, he's a guy that, yes, I've always said a better version of here, a younger version of him is David Roddy. But man, Conchar just consistently does what he does on a consistent basis. But the problem with him is he can't hit the outside three right now. And so he's going to do those great things, right? But I just don't know if he can ever find his way into the rotation ever on a consistent basis if we are championship level, not injured team, that's an issue. And so it's like, hey, this is great to have. And I've always said it's a luxury to a coach, but like at what point does the $6 million that he's going to be owed next year, when does that come in play? Yeah. Listen, I would love that. I don't think it's going to work.
That's when it comes into play.
I don't think it's enough though. It could be.
It probably isn't, but I mean, Roddy, I mean, I'm sorry, not Roddy. Jitty is a great end of the bench guy who does what you need. Nothing more, nothing
less. He's a great locker room guy.
Which is why he's great for literally every team.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're relying on him, your team's already in trouble.
You're right.
But if you're not relying on him, you just throw him in.
Yep.
He will always be in the right spot. He will always get you rebounds. He'll always play solid defense. He's a guy that can be on any NBA roster and contribute what he needs to contribute.
Yeah.
So he's a great piece. Now, again, I'm not – like, I like Grimes, but I believe more so for Memphis, they'll look for a piece that really steps them up next year. And I'm not sure Grimes does that when you have your roster healthy, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, listen, somehow or another, Jitty finds a way to spike one every game if he gets real run. It's awesome. But like you have these pieces like Jitty, you have these pieces like Conchar, Zaire, Laravia. I mean, hell, even something like BC. These are pieces that you can package for something that can really move the needle next year, right?
Yeah.
And I just don't see them making that a Conchar trade unless it's for something like that. Like a Grimes, I like.
Right.
But it's such a small move, right? I'm not sure what it works. And you're then probably – you have to give up something besides Conchar to make that happen. So it's not a one-for-one, right? You are giving up another asset for a guy that's going to have an equal to maybe slightly higher impact than Conchar. Right. So we'll see. As far as what Conchar does in the Grizzlies equation, he does exactly what he's been doing his entire career, which is steps in and gives you the requisite minutes to compete night in and night out and fill in gaps. Mm-hmm. And right now the Grizzlies have a gap every night somewhere.
Somehow. Yeah.
But yeah, it's been really, really good with him. And he deserves a bunch of minutes that he probably won't get because of the Grizzly situation, which is they're going to try and figure out stuff with these young guys on a lot of nights. And Jiddy's like, he's going to be an odd man out. You know what you have.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, even, you know, Goon the Shooter saying is, like, I wouldn't get rid of a player because soon as we get anybody, the vets get injured and they don't play. Like, I get that and I understand what that means. But, like, if this team wants to be a championship-level team, Jiddy shouldn't be on the floor. And if he is, he's a regular season guy, somebody that you can have on the end of your bench. The problem is it's the $2 million is great. It's when it balloons up to six. If he's not in your top 10 rotation, which he shouldn't be, then he shouldn't be getting paid $6 million. And so that's an issue. But also, Ryan, cheering for Kat to lose, but meaning Miles Bridges wins is a real Sophie's choice.
It's okay. I've seen enough so far to confidently say that Miles Bridges has not contributed to this very much. I haven't seen the actual stats outside the fourth quarter, but Rudy Gobert. He might get a suspension for that one. He won't, but
all right. So
he is lay sad.
Yeah. So any final thoughts on this? I don't want to spend too much long on this game. I think it was a great win. I do have a lot I want to talk about in the second segment. It's going to be more about this team and what they're going to kind of consist of. And so I'm curious what we look at, but overall, just final thoughts on the game, you know, and mine are in general, Gigi, he looked good. He looks like he was feeling a little bit more comfortable tonight. Still, the five rebounds was big. I know he went through the first half, only had one. So four in the second half was big. And Jacob Gilliard helping out run that offense, it was important. But then, you know, Tillman played okay. Tillman has not looked good. Zaire didn't hurt us, didn't kill us tonight. But then, honestly, the starters outside of Aldama, Jaron, Conchart, Luke Kennard, and Vince Williams played amazing. Amazing. We'll talk about Zaire definitely in the second segment. But anything else you want to hit on before we get out of here on and going into the second segment?
Well, I'm going to disagree with you on the X stuff. Like, okay. One, Gigi was everywhere tonight in that first half. It was awesome. But I thought X did everything well tonight other than finish. And listen, he had a couple go in and out. And he missed some easy shots, but he did everything well tonight. He played solid defense. The dude moves his feet so well for a guy his size. Yeah. He did really well defensively, got a bunch of boards, did all the little stuff. I thought it was a good game for Max. Just because he didn't fill it up doesn't mean he had a bad night.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's struggling. I do have a question, though, about him. So would you bring him back next year to be your emergency backup guy? Because obviously you have but on what – if you had to pay him $6 million like you're paying Jiddy, what would you?
Depends on what else you can get rid of. But, okay. I mean, yeah, I have no problem with that. As long as there's some roster consolidation outside of him, yeah, I'd have zero problem with that whatsoever. Like, he does all the little things you need him to do. He's a great break class in case of emergency guy. I don't think you want him to be your main backup big, but assuming you have Brandon Clark, Steven Adams, the whole Santi squad Aldama healthy.
Eventually. Yeah.
Yeah, Santi would be there as well. Santi's he doesn't do, like, the center stuff that you'd bring X in to do, though, right?
Right. But that's what I'm getting at is, like, it allows you, like, the good thing about Brandon Clark is he allows you to be a versatile, like, team, right? But also, so does X. X allows you, because you're not paying him a lot, he's somebody that you can count on to play.
Right.
If you need to go bigger and thicker, you know, like, if you had to go away from BC or if you had to kind of go smaller a little bit, you know, with him.
He also does everything you want him to do, man. Yeah. He just does all the little stuff. Same thing as Jiddy, but he's a big guy. Yeah. Right. So, and you're throwing him on LeBron. They threw him on Luka for a little bit. He is surprisingly good defensively against some of these forwards. And so Yeah, man, I would be happy to bring him back.
Yeah, I like it. We'll make sure you kind of stick with us. Obviously, the comment section, our favorite. I want to hear a lot of what you have in the second, because it's going to be a lot of trade talk. The second segment will be filled with that on a consistent basis. I want to hear about what your thoughts are on a lot of these Wizards players. But the comment section, as always, is sponsored by the Streetcars of Memphis. Call them up if you need an oil change, any modifications, and let them know. But we'll be right back here in about I'm going to do the long one. I got to go get something out of my car real quick if I can make it. So we'll be right back here in minute 44.
I also see the game a little bit differently than everybody else. Like, mm-hmm. I don't put a lot of, I guess because when you are a journeyman role guy like myself in the league, the feeling side of it, I don't really get wrapped up in that.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times we get too many people, the feelings get so wrapped, like you're doing something to somebody. Like, mm-hmm. it's personal. And this is a business, bro.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And that's the mindset I try to tell all these young guys when you come in.
Mm-hmm.
The sport of basketball stops once you become a pro.
Yeah.
It becomes the business of basketball.
Wow. Yeah.
Make sure that you got guaranteed contracts. That's what I tell everybody. Don't get wrapped up on this team that's on the front, because this can change. You just want to make sure that this Jerry West logo, I got this little Nike. You want to make sure that Jerry West is on your jersey.
There's not an iron on.
Exactly.
You see what I'm
saying? Exactly. That is sold in.
Yeah.
That's what you have on your. And if you can keep that mindset, then you can, all of the outside bullshit, you won't even worry about what this person said about him. People look at me and say, I done had to do 5'10", play 12 years in the NBA. Was no big time scorer.
Mm-hmm.
Dude just was a good guy that played on his team. His teammates knew that he was going to be there for him. I wanted the next guy to be just as good. I wanted him to eat. What was my role going to be on that team? Mm-hmm. And then in the summertime, I go kick on people's ass in the summer.
Yeah.
And people always say, man, why you don't do this when you go back to the league? They don't ask me to do this.
Bro, you doing what's keeping that logo on your chest.
I'm doing what's keeping this logo right here. Mm-hmm. And then when I come in the summer, we're going to get it in.
Right.
That keeps my juices flowing until the next time.
That's what's up, man.
Tune in to The Anthony Sane Show, Wednesdays and Fridays at 12 p.m. weekly on the Bluff City Media YouTube channel.
Well, lo and behold, Daniel didn't make it back on time, which is unsurprising to all of us. But, you know, I'm watching this Hornets-Timberwolves game, and I just watched LaMelo Ball not challenge Rudy Gobert with the game on the line. And my first thought was, Ja would never. And we've seen all these comparisons lately. The NBA needs to give Ja's flowers. And speaking of flowers, you know Pews. And from flower shop to commercial landscape, Pews has been around for 30-plus years servicing the Mid-South. 30-plus years, but did you know that Pews also does residential lawn care? Pews Residential Spray can take care of all your weed control and fertilization needs. If you want to create that perfect weed-free lawn, then call Pews Residential Spray today for a free estimate. 901-633-2118. And let them know that the Grizz 901 crew sent you. Seriously, let them know that we sent you. Need to do that. And remember, with Pews, you get big company strength, small company values. How about that transition, DG?
Professional transition, man. I heard it and I'm very proud of you. Where have we come over these years? From just being just terrible and just rough to being professional.
Speak for yourself, dog. I'm a natural.
All right, let's get to the Grizz trivia. I want to get to that first and foremost. Thank you for kind of sticking out with us. I got back here in the comments where we're moving so much. I was excited that we didn't lose. but the main thing is, it is in danger. The main co-host.
All right.
Let's get to the Grizz trivia, and I will never be in danger of losing this spot because he can't come up with himself, but he can't answer him either. So since 2001 and 2002, when the Grizzlies first came to Memphis, what team has the best winning percentage versus the Grizzlies? They have won at a 70.5% all time and 40-plus games in that time. Of all the teams that I'm going to be mentioning, every one of them has played 40-plus games, every single one. San Antonio is wrong. San Antonio is third with a 60%.
I felt pretty good about that. Boston.
My God. I don't like you and Dak. I really think that Dak sends you personal messages to help you.
Let's go. Man, those are two solid guesses. Listen, I know more about this team than I let on when we first started Grizz Trivia. I actually do pay attention, believe it or not. I'll own it. I'm not a 2001 Grizzlies fan. I'm not one of those, but I am a decade plus have endured the horrible seasons Grizzlies fan. Let's go. Hornets win 128-125 in Minnesota to absolutely ruin Cats 60 plus. There is a God.
Can anybody else answer what the number two team was? And Rusty, I see you have a Warriors. It is not the Warriors.
I'd say Warriors. Mavs or Lakers. Mavs or Lakers.
The Warriors are they're so far down this list. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. The Warriors are 19th. Just so everybody's aware, 19th at a 0.469% win percentage. That means the Grizzlies.
That's a problem.
Grizzlies have that. who's the second one? If you had to answer that, who's the second one? Anybody got that one? So we got Celtics at a 70% win. A 60% win percentage is San Antonio Spurs. In between, we have one.
In between who?
The Spurs and Celtics.
I said my next two guesses would be Mavs, Lakers in that order.
It is not an East team. It is the Dallas Mavericks.
God, dude, I am the GOAT of Grizz Trivia. The GOAT! I'm so good at this. It is crazy. Go Mounties.
I hate this segment. More than ever, I hate this segment. Whatever. This is stupid. I'm never doing this again. All right. Let's go ahead and get into On the Radar, and that's going to be the Washington Wizards. Thoughts on Washington blowing up off the top? Is there anybody that you can think of right now that you're like, hey, that's who I would want if I could make a move to bring somebody on the team?
Gafford.
Really?
Yeah, he fits. He fits. I don't know if I necessarily want him as the starting five, but he is a rim running, rim protecting, rebounding big man. Fit, and he just fits. He just fits that mold. I don't think it makes a ton of sense because of what I think you would say, which is you're probably bringing him over to be the starting five.
Yeah, that's just the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But it's like as far as like the best fit over there, I'd say him. I Kuz is like the prototype fits a lot, but
no, he doesn't.
No. Hear me out. I know you and me agree on this because we talked about it. I can't see him as anything other than I know he's technically won a championship. Technically, I know Ryan's in the chat, so let us be clear. And we know he played, which just means he had the best seats. He was sitting in the corner, getting the absolute best seats possible to watch LeBron win a championship. I just can't see it. I just can't do it. And like, what are you bringing him in for? Truly, like, what are you bringing him in for? To start?
For Kuzma? Has to be a starter.
Yeah, no. Dude,
let's go down here real quick. And let me just kind of read you there who makes their money, right? And these are the people that we're going to go over. Jordan Poole, it's an escalator. He starts at $27 million this year and it goes up to 34. Kyle Kuzma, he's under contract the next four seasons. So this season and three more, it does de-escalate. And so at 25 all the way down to 19. Tyus is at $14 million. Daniel Gafford is he's on 3-year contract. That includes this year, 12, 13, and 14. So it's a small escalator, not much. Landry Shamet's 10, 11, 11. DeLon Wright's on expiring 8. And then Denny Abdia is he's on 5 years, like total, $6 million this year, and then it doubles pretty much 15, 14, 13, 11. So it does have a de-escalator in it. It does come down. And then Corey Kispert is $3 million this year, 5.7 next year. All right, so let's go ahead and get into the first one that we're going to rule out. And yes, you are going to blow it up, even though it's already demolished. We're going to blow up the Washington Wizards. The first guy who I don't want, I do want him, but I don't want him because it doesn't make sense, is Tyus Jones. What's your thoughts on Tyus Jones?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Like, I love him, but I don't see how you make that work.
He's great for this year. Phenomenal.
Yeah, I know. We'd all kill to have him right now, wouldn't
it's we? Great.
Yeah, it's like you gave him up for a reason, and the reason still stands. You can't play him with Ja when it matters most. And he's going to command too much money for you to make that work.
Yeah.
That's it.
I agree.
If you got him on a Derrick Rose number, then heck yeah, I take that. But not happening.
Yeah. And the other guy that I'm rolling out, like, I don't even need to look, and that's Jordan Poole, for sure. Like, don't need you.
He doesn't exist to me.
Yeah. He's not real. All
right. The birds aren't real.
All right, let's get to the other part real quick, and that's going to be starting off with Kyle Kuzma. I know we've talked about it a little bit. He is a fit on this team in a sense. Like, Kyle Kuzma making 25 and it goes down to 19. That does help you with the incoming money, but he's not a true winner to me. I don't love his attitude. I don't like his swag. I don't like his vibes. I don't like anything about that.
Who?
Kyle Kuzma takes me out on him completely. So is there any way that you would say I would be cool with getting Kyle Kuzma, saying send out like a Smart or a Kennard to go get him and bring him back?
Let me be clear. I don't think you do either, but the way that came off was like almost like a person, like, I don't like his attitude. I don't think he has like an attitude problem or anything like that. I just think the dude's played a lot of losing basketball. That's it. So I just want to be clear. It's not like I think he's like a locker room issue or anything like that. He
probably is.
You know, you got mad at like Dylan Brooks shot chucker. You're bringing in a shot chucker, in my opinion. But I think Avia, I could work with. Kispert, I could work with.
Hey, we're not going. Hey, slow your roll. I'm steering this ship, not you. Kuzma improves the top eight. True or false? Bad.
I crush an ad read, and all of a sudden you're getting real insecure over there. A little TWS going on the Grizz 901 podcast. That's for the OGs. That's for the OGs.
If you don't know what TWS means, that's on you. You need to go.
Yeah.
Better ask somebody. Ask somebody in the chat.
Ask a friend. I don't even know what you asked me at this point.
Kuzma, does he improve the top eight? Because the reason I say that is because that does make sense. You bring Kuzma onto the team. That means you don't lose anybody. The problem is you have to send out something to make up that $25 million contract. So you're going to have to lose a Steven Adams, Brandon Clark, Marcus Smart. You're going to have to lose somebody like that. You have to.
No, he doesn't.
I like it.
Because like you're saying, you have to give up somebody.
That's the issue.
And as far as fit goes, no. Because I'm thinking about top eight. This is, again, healthy, right? We're not – who cares about this year? We're punting this year.
Correct.
Ja, Dez, Smart, Jaren, Stevo, BC, Luke, Vince.
Yeah.
He does not fit better than any of those guys. Like, you could say, okay, like, you want to go with a bodybuild prototype, fits better than Smart. Again, I think winning matters. I think Smart's a winning player who has pushed guys like Jaren to the point they are now. We've seen Smart make a bunch of winning plays for this team, and he's barely played, 20-something games for him.
Right.
Like, that matters to me. So I don't want that. And let's go look. Like, hold on. Carry the conversation for a bit, because I think I've seen something that I want to bring up on here. Carry the conversation. Come on. Do what I normally do.
Do you want to stick on Kuz, or do you want to move on?
Yeah, I want to stick on Kuz. Hold on just a second.
Yeah, so obviously Kuz gives you
33% career 3-point shooter out of here.
Yeah.
I'm good.
That's the issue, is that the shooting percentage is not what I want.
Yeah.
At all.
He's averaged 21 points per game. Yeah, for the Wizards. Again, anytime, I might be slightly biased, but anytime Charlotte or Washington touches something, I'm immediately grossed out by it a little bit. Like, even Tyus, as soon as we shipped Tyus to Washington, I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
He was such a promising young player. Such a promising young man. But now he's in Washington.
Yeah.
And so it's like Washington, Charlotte, Detroit, now that Monty's there, I guess. Yeah, it's So maybe that's it, but he shoots like 33 career percent from three. Yeah. Like I'm okay. I don't think he moves the needle.
No, I'm not big on Kyle Kuzma at all. All right, let's get to some guys that you might be big on. And one of you've already talked about is Daniel Gafford, right? So he does, he has a contract that does fit here. You're talking about a guy that is 12, 13, and 14 for the next 3 years. This year, he's on his $12 million contract. And so you would be paying for that. I understand Daniel Gafford and his fit and who he is. So Daniel Gafford in general, just this season, 10.5 points, 7.6 rebounds, 1.6 assists. That I don't like that compared to another guy that if you looked at his numbers, let me read you these numbers real quick. 8.6 points, 11.5 rebounds, 2.3 assists. The rebounding is much improved on the second guy.
Who is the second guy? I'm looking at contracts.
Steven Adams.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have Gafford than Adams. Unless I've said this from the get-go, unless you think Adams is going to come back a shell of himself, like even if he's 85% of what he was before, he's a better fit than basically any other center you can bring in. He fits great next to Jaren. He fits great next to Ja. He fits next to Bane, next to Luke. He accentuates all the guys you want to accentuate on the team. I'm not moving him. It's not happening unless you think he's just not going to be himself.
So you're fine. So you would rather have Adams than Gafford if you can get a healthy Adams.
Yes. If you can get at Adams as 85% of what he was, which I think you'll get him 90 plus percent of what he was, unless there's something crazy. Again, I thought he played basketball this year too. So who am I to say anything? But yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Like we've seen how well he fits. He does so much, man. He facilitates, he rebounds. But the biggest thing is he bullies the paint for you.
Yeah.
Like he creates all that space in the paint. He does all the dirty work so Jaren can go just be a defensive freako. Like so much on both sides of the ball that I don't know who, like Jokic maybe is the other guy. And even then he doesn't do it the same way.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, like, the Gafford thing is, the first thing I looked at is, you know, what are his numbers saying? And I wanted to see that, see what the rebounding looked like. He's never been a great rebounder. Like, he's fine. Like, the highest he's ever had is this year, and it's 7.6. And, like, it's 4.9 off the defensive end, 2.6 off of the offensive end. If you go look at Steve-O, like, it's incredible, those numbers. But just in general, as Dak Daniels was saying, it's hard to imagine that Steve-O is going to regress much because the athleticism, what he was doing, it's not a part of his game. It's really just him being big. And what I looked at is these guys are pretty much the same size and height, but Gafford gives up 30 pounds to a guy like Steve-O. And what do you need on this team? You need somebody that can be kind of a vet, but also somebody that can push around people because Jaren needs to play the four. Now, if you want to say, hey, let me get somebody else that allows Jaren to still play the four but still have some size, that's fine. But the problem is like, dude, Gafford does not shoot the three at all. Like, if you're going to do that, give me a rim running five. Give me somebody that can do that. If I'm going smaller, I need somebody to shoot a three.
Gafford is what you want. He is a plus, plus, plus of what you want as your backup big. He is a plus, plus, plus of what you want as your backup big.
Correct. Backup He's center. Just not a starting center.
But well, yeah. You don't want him to be your starting center. And he just, again, he doesn't fit as well as Steve-O. Not many people do. But one thing you just said right there I do want to point out is we've seen a lot more Jaren at the five the past few games than I think people realized because it hasn't stood out like a sore thumb. So, low-key, Jaren has been playing center and – being awesome while he's been doing it. So that's I think ideally Jaren is playing the four, but Jaren at the five is kind of happening.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
sorry, Austin. The answer is no.
Austin, man, I appreciate you, but DeAndre Drummond is not better than Steven Adams. Never, ever will he ever be. Ever. Never.
Yeah. That's just incorrect. I'm sorry.
All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to pick on you, Austin. But I do. I do love Adams, and I do love Drummond. But
yeah.
Drummond is not the same. He rebounds really well, but he's not the same guy.
I was gonna say I'm a little bit between Austin and Keith. Keith is saying he's a bad fit. I don't necessarily think he's a bad fit. I just don't want him over Adams.
No,
I think he fits fine, and he's not gonna be like a. Like centric enough player that I mind where he has played or anything like that.
Yeah.
Right. Like, anyways,
all right. Let's get to the last two guys. Corey Kispert, as I said, he's making, you know, minimal money, $3 and $5 million. Nothing really crazy, but he's a guy that you could get possibly for cheap. He's under contract next year. Like, they know that, you know, that he would be obviously going to be leaving at some point. I don't know why you would sign unless you sign for a big money deal in general. The only thing that worries me is he's not an amazing rebounder. 2.2, 1.5 assists. He does shoot well. He has the lowest percent, or 36.9 this year. That his shooting has not been crazy good. And honestly, I don't know what you would have to give up to get him. But weirdly enough, like, I think he just blends in on this team if he is.
They like higher education fellows in Capitol Hill, and we have a Stanford alum sitting here in Memphis that I'm sure could go one for one to Washington. Why not send Zaire Williams? He could get that post-basketball career on track as well.
Yeah. So that's one thing I would say is, like, if you could give up a Zaire – straight up for, you know, getting back a guy like Corey Kispert, would you be fine with doing that one for one?
Yes.
Okay.
The answer is yes. It's going to be nice. The answer is yes.
Okay. I think that's fine. I think if you can give up somebody like that to get somebody like that has potential to spread it out, that would be great. Unfortunately, as Dak Daniels is saying, there's no chance that would happen.
That's why I'm laughing.
I do think that you could throw in a second Zaire, maybe throw in, you know, I don't know what you would do to get that, but he's not even starting for them. He's not doing much when he's come off the bench. That's the thing is, like, I don't know what you could get. Zaire has potential and he has upside. That's something.
It's the same thing with all these guys that we've heard about in the trade block. Like, they're all whatever. It's just whatever. It's a bunch of whatever, right? Like, none of these guys move the needle for you. Like, I think, honestly, Avia is probably the most likely to make an impact for you off of that team. Like, that's – and I don't even know what his contract is. You probably said it earlier, but it's – it's another thing is, I'm like, whatever. It's just another guy who can kind of do something.
Yeah.
But so, it's the same thing. Don't make a move unless it's going to really have an impact next year or shore you up somewhere. Like, I'm not moving any of those top eight guys we just talked about unless you're getting a real piece back. Like, I'm talking, it's got to be Jeremy Grant level.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you run it back with this roster healthy next year, and you've got a rock star roster, man. We're yet to see it play out literally for even 1 minute.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, you throw BC and Adams back in there, the guys who played this year but now are out. It's a good roster, dude. So, sure, augment it a little bit on the back end or really have a big upgrade in your top eight. Other than that, I'm not afraid to run it back with this roster.
Okay. I'm a lot of the same way. Let's talk about the last guy you just talked about is Denny Abdia. $6 million this year, but he then balloons up to 15, 14, 13, 11. So he's under contract in a hole of five years, which is big. And it's like de-escalating down big time. And so he is, you know, if you're looking at he's not a huge 3-point shooter, 34.8%. He's taken almost three a game, hitting one for three a game is what he's doing. He is scoring at a decent percent. Roughly at 50%, you know, overall, but he does rebound well. He's averaging 6.2 this year, and roughly 4 assists, half a block, and almost a steal a game. That's the difference in what I'm looking at as a guy like that. Like, could you get him it wouldn't be the same guy as Luke Kennard. But what I saw with Luke Kennard tonight is sometimes, like, yes, he is playing well. Luke Kennard needs to be on a good team to really excel for himself. But if you look at Luke Kennard, kind of can get lost and kind of taken advantage of on the defensive end. And so a guy like maybe like Denny Abdia, maybe that's a guy that you could bring in, can still, you know, still shoot a little bit, but he won't bring you the same firepower, but he possibly could actually make you a little bit longer.
Off-brand Bogdan. I'm good.
Okay.
Like, I just, it, again, it's not that these guys are bad or that they would be bad on this team. It's just that they're whatever.
They're not a needle mover at all.
I think they don't move the needle up for you whatsoever. And they have a possibility of moving the needle down.
Okay.
So, like, why? Why do that?
Yeah.
You know, it's not even swing. It's not even like swinging. You're like, okay, I'm going to throw a little bunt down the third baseline here because why the hell not?
Yeah. So there's no reason to make a move to get somebody on a long-term deal that is okay. Like, it's not a lot of money that you're forking out, but you have somebody in a long-term contract. I don't know what you can get with Luke Kennard. If you want to keep Luke Kennard around for years, like I'm saying, just looking down the road a little bit to keep your window open, I don't know what you can do with him, because he's going to obviously probably want more if he gets better. If not, you're probably going to pay him the same thing, and that's not really what I want to do. Luke Kennard, I don't think, is worth the amount of money he's getting.
Probably not, but, I mean, we've watched him expand his game tonight, right? Now it's one game. We'll see if he's able to do it more than once, yeah. But he's taking guys off the dribble, and he's facilitating tonight, which is not something we've seen him do successfully. Maybe it's just because the Raptors are trash. That would be a completely fair argument.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe Luke starts getting more comfortable and fitting in. But it's the same thing. You're augmenting around your main guys. We've always said this, or I've always said this. You don't pay for the value of the guy. You pay for the value of building around your guys.
Okay.
What fits with your guys? Who cares if you overpay Luke Kennard? Who cares if you overpay Marcus Smart or whatever, if it fits perfectly with your guys, right? Yeah. Like, who knows? And it's hard. Again, the playoff stuff, it's so hard to say because we've barely seen any of these guys in the playoffs. We've barely seen any of these guys play together in the playoffs. They always get hurt. Adams, Ja.
Yeah.
Luke, for that matter. Heck, Luke was on the verge of turning that series around last year. He was the guy that, like, hey, they found something here. So it's like, you just can't say all that stuff, in my opinion, and have like it hold real water. So it's these guys, again, you can say, oh, well, they're never healthy. Dude, if you're never healthy, you're never going to win. It's part of it, right? And all you can do is build the right roster around. And like the only, I don't know if there's any of these guys that are injury prone outside of maybe at this point, Ja. Like, he's the one that seems to consistently get hurt out of these guys.
Yeah, so it seems like a one-year deal, not like a consistent basis. But they have been hurt in the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's like it's bad injury luck. You hope for good injury luck. I mean, last year Ja got hurt because he freaking got his thumb caught in Jay Crowder's jersey in like the last game of the year that didn't even matter. And all of a sudden his hands hurt, headed straight into the playoffs. So, you know, you run it with this roster. I think you're in a really, really good spot.
Yeah. I like looking at this. I think this is interesting. It allows us to talk about some guys that we like or don't like, especially leading up to the trade deadline. I think we should do the Atlanta Hawks. Somebody just brought up Bogdanovich. Atlanta Hawks next week. You want to look at that? Or Wednesday?
Yeah, screw it. Why not?
Yeah, let's look at the Atlanta Hawks next time. I have some people I want to talk about on that team for sure. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll get back to the rest of the show. Will be the preview of the Miami Heat for Wednesday's game.
Yeah, because Zach Randolph went into the Blazers organization that had some characters. Underline the word characters. Right. Okay, he's coming from Michigan State. He's from Marion, Indiana, and then you go to Portland, Oregon, which it's an entirely different culture, entirely different demographic. He had people around him who were guys from Marion. Hey, you owe us. Anthony, one of the key memories of my time here in Memphis, off the court, I did a Read to Achieve event with Zach Randolph. And the kid who read the most books, his prize was to get to interview Zach Randolph. Mm-hmm. And the young man, first question to Zach is, what's the hardest thing for a black athlete to learn? Mm. And Zach did not give him any, you know, like BS fluff answer. Yeah. He said, a lot of times the people who say they're your friends, they're not your friends. And you have to pick the people around you very, very wisely.
Tune in to The Anthony Sain Show, Wednesdays and Fridays at 12 p.m. weekly on the Bluff City Media YouTube channel.
We are back. This is the Grizz 101 show, the post-game show. We're coming at to you live after each and every game. We're a part of Bluff City Media. If you have a chance, be a friend. Go check out the Daily Grind in the morning. They'll be live at 9 a.m. with Luke and Marcus. They always are. Go check them out, especially after a win. Always a good time. But also our $2 show. The $2 sports show is live every Friday at 3 o'clock. Going down the list here is Sain, Wednesdays and Fridays at noon. Always turn to them. But there's a lot of Tigers talk coming. The Tigers and Tap, the Tigers are struggling. If you want to hear some always mad Tiger talk, you can go check out the Tigers and Tap. Listen, TJ and Trey are amazing. They're some of the best, some of the funniest people. So make sure you go give them a shout anytime you can. But it looks like they are Wednesdays at 3 o'clock and then Tuesdays at noon on the Bluff with Gabe and Christian. And I think that's all of our shows. That's it. All right, so let's go ahead and get back to ours. As you all know, Streetcars of Memphis is the comment section sponsor. Go ahead and give them a call and let them know that Grizz 901 sent you, and you can get a $55 oil change or $65 full synthetic oil change. All right, so I know a lot of people are already talking about the Atlanta Hawks. We're going to get to them Wednesday, but I do love that everybody's already hitting on that. It's all about Capella, but my main guy is Jalen Johnson.
Yeah.
And he is more untouchable than Trey. Jalen Johnson is a freak. Yeah, I can't ever remember. Do you know where you went to school at?
UT.
That's not true. You went to the Duke University Blue Devils.
No, all good players go to UT, I thought. I just remember you, me, and Sean talking about it at some point.
Shut up. All right, so I wanted to draft him so bad, Jalen Johnson. I thought he had the potential. The place that lost to Pitt. Yes, thanks, Ryan. So the Grizzlies now are 16-27, taking on the Miami Heat 24-19. We are not playing in Cameron. We're actually going to be playing down in Miami. And so – initial thoughts on Miami, because, you know, obviously they're doing what the Heat do throughout the regular season. They play some games good. They play some games bad. They really don't care what their record is as long as they get in the playoffs. The last two games, or the three game, they just lost to the Raptors 3 games ago, 121-97. And then after that, they lost to the Hawks 109-108. And then they just recently on Sunday night, lost 105-87 to the Magic. They are reeling, 3-game loss, losing streak. They are on the road. Now they're coming back home. The Grizzlies are going to go play them. I think it's the Grizzlies' away game before they come home. Yes, last away game before they come home, play those actual Orlando Magic. What's your thoughts on the Miami Heat?
Dog, they got drilled.
Drilled.
They got drilled by the Raptors and the Magic. So they're real. Yeah, they're going to. Uh-oh. that's my thought. Ruh-roh, Raggy. Ruh-roh, Raggy. Oh, man. Listen, I mean, you get a Jaren night where he doesn't get into foul trouble. You got guys hit some shots. Anything could happen. That's my preface to. If you're the Miami Heat and you just lost 3 in a row, and 2 of them you didn't, I mean, you got beat by like 30 something points in 2 of those games. You don't not show up against the Grizzlies at home. Mm-hmm. I imagine they'll come out firing. Do they have anybody hurt right now?
So I was just looking at that. The only person I see, Kyle Lowry is off the bench. So they have Hero, Adebayo, Caleb Martin. Mm-hmm. Butler, Jovic, Nikola Jovic, Not nice. Jokic. But yeah, no, he's starting for them. I don't know if they have anybody mainly hurt, but yeah, dude. I don't know what to think about them. Like I said, they just don't care half the time. They Jaime Jaquez, he's out. That's who it was. I knew they had somebody out.
Yeah, they don't care about the regular season. What's their record? 24-19. Yeah. I still imagine they show up and it'll be one of those games where they do one of two things. They either come out and they're like, we're going to blitz you right off rip and take you out of the game immediately. Or they just kind of piss around for three quarters, and in the fourth quarter they turn it on, and then they try and blitz you and decide you're not scoring. To be honest, if it's the second one, I like the Grizzlies' chances. Because you get to the fourth quarter, and Jaren's doing what he's been doing the past few games and is in a rhythm. Like, you've yet to see anybody be able to just put the screws to Jaren and lock him up. It hadn't happened, right? And then when they do that, then he's able to make passes out of it, make the right play. So I feel pretty good if that's the case. If it's the former, where they just come out and they decide they're going to blitz you off rip and you're like, they're just going to murder you before anybody can get into any kind of rhythm, it could go south fast.
Yeah. So, well, looking at the Heat the last six games, they had the game that they honestly scored the most was against the Hawks, who the Hawks suck. But the most they scored was 108. This last game, they had 87 points. And then the Heat against the Raptors only had 97. And the Grizzlies just scored 108. And then against the Nets, 96. Against the Hornets, 104. Against the Magic again, 99. These are some bad teams. Like, besides the Magic, who are fairly good, the Hawks, I think, stink. The Raptors stink. The Nets stink. The Hornets stink. Mm-hmm. And they literally have had a losing streak against them, but also hasn't been scoring. So what that seems to me is, like, if you can somehow play well early, you might be able to get a chance to get up on them. But these games are low scoring. The reason I say all that is because the Grizzlies, I think, are okay low scoring. Like, I think if you look at these games with the Grizzlies, the best thing about it is if you can keep them in the game, that's all about it. The only time they've really been bad is when these other teams just ran out from them, because the Grizzlies can't catch you. If you run out from them, they can't catch you. That's just the truth. But if you can stay with them, the Grizzlies, this is the type of Grizzlies that I really like, is games like this. And so they're going to have fresher legs. The only thing that bothers me is they're coming from Toronto. They're going to go down to Miami. Two places that have good nightlives. I'm just saying.
Half them kids can't even get by with a fake ID. Let's just pretend that's going to work. That's true. Let's pretend that's a real thing for NBA players.
Yeah, as Ryan's saying, is the Heat are going to go into more of a zone. And listen, they might, but that's, we'll see. And honestly, it could be that, where they try to zone them out and try to make them shoot. But that would be, I'm curious to see that.
It's going to be – I mean, they did okay with it tonight. It's – they got to use Jaren as a zone buster more, don't you think? Don't you feel like that should be something they do?
Yeah, and what you see now is – and I thought this was very smart from Jenkins, and, because as a coach, you're having to adjust from not having Ja on your team to now you go to Desmond Bane, who's being the facilitator, and then you lose Desmond Bane and Marcus Smart. So you have no facilitator. There's no point guards on the team. And him going to Jaren, because what was happening is they were letting somebody else, run the point, maybe even like Conchar Moore, and they would throw it and down into Jaren. And so what happened is those quick double teams would come. And at that point, they're taking Jaren out of the game. And so if you have Jaren run like kind of the point forward, or he is the facilitator at the top of the key, if you come and you come and double team him from there, you have so much area to work off of and for an open shot or maybe a drive to the basket. So with a facilitator like Jaren from the top, you can be a zone buster, right? Get into that middle. But also, it allows you to do so much out of that. And so, props to TJ for going through Jaren more as kind of a point forward on that. I think it's smart, And something that I wouldn't have thought of is letting him run from the top of the key and kind of being the guy who's facilitating the offense.
Dude, after just absolutely getting livid with the way that Jaren was used the last game, Jenkins came with some absolutely incredible after timeouts tonight. And he's thrown some wrinkles in there I really like. Like tonight we saw I noticed that pretty much every time they go to that Jaren post up, Luke is on that wing.
They were in a good two man, yeah. And they did double. You kick out to look back out to Luke,
and he nailed the three. And they didn't do it again. They never brought that double again.
So it's little things like that that are so simple, but like if you can get these young players seeing that themselves, it's less of what the coach has to say, and it's more about them doing that, changing within the game. And maybe it is out of a timeout when the coaches, you know, on the staff would say something like, "Hey, if you get y'all to run a, you know, a strong side offense, a, you know, not a double on your side or a double, you know, running a two man game, but maybe if you're on go to Jaren's side, y'all kind of go to that strong side." And so we'll see. They said nobody could hear Jenkins tonight.
That's not decided. But it's the same thing I said last game that pissed me off so much. That was this is what we're doing tonight.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to this tonight, and we're going to do it over and over again, which was what made me so mad the other night is I'm like, why not do that? Just do it all the time. But shout out to Jenkins. They did it tonight. Yeah. I still think sometimes they like try and run these actions and then eventually get to Jaren where I'm just like, you know, I always compare it to course because it's easy to compare to a guy who's awesome, AD. It's like the Lakers just can come down the court and it takes them 2 seconds and they give the ball to Anthony Davis on the wing.
Right.
I'm like, sometimes I'm like, dude, just do that. Don't run these actions. There's no need to, like, just come down, pass the ball to Jaren on the wing. He's actually gotten to the point where you can pass it to him on the perimeter at the wing, and it comes and he's able to dribble down and get to what he needs to get to. So just, I'm like, just do it. Quit doing all this other stuff. All this hanky panky.
Hanky panky.
He's giving the ball. But listen, they did it. They did it tonight. So
yeah.
I loved it. I was here for it.
Yeah, and it looks like Taylor Jenkins didn't have a voice tonight, and so I know Ryan texted me individually and was asking a little bit about why Patrick St. Andrews is doing more, you know, the talking
and
vocalization. It's really mainly they were using him as a ventriloquist, I guess. That's what Pete was saying. He's like, whatever TJ might be saying is he's talking to him, and then he's getting up and saying and yelling it out. So I would say mostly everything was the same as normal. I don't think there's anything that stood out there that why the Grizzlies look good is because Patrick St. Andrews. I just think it was
Patrick St. somebody Andrews else. Took the reins. You have Doc Jenkins over there. Hey, hey.
Yes. Nice. But who knows, man? Tonight was fun. Tonight was great. The Grizzlies went 108-100. I thought it was a fun game in general. Just kind of listening and watching a little bit of it throughout. Kind of keep my eye on it enough to not steer away and steer off the road. But it was a good game. It was a good win of the Grizzlies. It really was. And so I don't think that, you know, these wins aren't going to move mountains in the fact of hurting your draft, you know, stock or helping it, you know, in a weird way if you have these losses. But I do think that you will see that these wins help your team way down the road because it helps them see how to win and little things to kind of stack on each other. And as D'Angelo's saying, you know, Jenkins watched the show. He heard you, Nate. He heard you. Anything else in the game before we get out of here?
No, listen, it was a very enjoyable evening as a Grizz fan. It was fun to watch. Lots of good stuff. Like I said, there's the only person I was really frustrated with tonight was Santi. And if you can get a game where I'm not frustrated with Zaire Williams, it has been a good night.
Always a good night. That's all we have, man. Next, thank you all for joining us as always. If you get a chance, go support our sponsors, Pew's, you know, awesome, you know, good company. If you go buy flowers from them, if you go, you know, if you have a commercial business and you get them to do your maintenance and landscaping stuff, great. But also if you are just a normal Joe Schmo, get on them now. I'm telling you, their prices are lower than you probably expect. Give them a call and let them know the Grizz 901 team sent you. And I think you'll be shocked of how well they do, but also really the kind of business they have. But also support our comment section sponsor, and that is Streetcars of Memphis. Let them know the Grizz 901 team sent you. So that's it. We'll be back here Wednesday night. As you know, we're going to have Grizz Trivia in the second segment. But also, we've already teased it, the Hawks. We got to talk about Bogdan for Nate. A little bit of Jalen Johnson, but less about him. But a lot about Bogdan. That's all we got. Y'all be good. Thank you for hanging out with us as always. We'll see you back Wednesday night. Be nice and tell your friends.